presentation, and I don't know which of you gentlemen is up to bat, but please begin.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Doug Tindall, Maintenance Engineer for the Oregon Department of Transportation. When we last left you, we had finished the portions of the program concerning maintenance, planning, and construction, and we're rolling into, on page 145, the discussion of the special program section, those programs which don't fit cleanly into the other categories. And I'll begin discussing those in brief, I hope. SAM recovery program, some of our agreements, well, there's a couple of issues that bring this about and make this necessary. First, there's a state law that requires, it doesn't matter if it's an agency or a private citizen, prevents them or requires them to allow for fish passage when they build a structure around or over a stream. Second part that's driving this is that some of our agreements with the regulatory agencies are that we will spend a certain amount of money on culvert retrofits, and we do that so that we can do the other portions of our work. Part of our general, we have sort of broad-ranging agreements in order to be able to continue our work on a day-to-day basis. Bicycle and pedestrian program is that program that is mandated by statute for funding bicycle and pedestrian facilities. Scenic byways, this is, I believe, all federal money identified for scenic byways that does our portion of identifying and protecting Oregon's scenic routes, for which we have received national recognition. Statewide enhancement program is a program that, with local cooperation, we can bring in or we can develop projects that enhance the culture and enhance the environment, particularly around communities, but it could happen anywhere where that opportunity exists along the highway system. Jurisdictional exchange, a program that's been discussed at some length, a couple of bills in this session. This is the process where we work with local government, if they have a desire and we have a desire, to exchange and to pass state highways into local control. Just a brief note on this issue is that we like doing this on highways that are of what are called district level categorization in the scheme of the highway plan, but we prefer not to do it on those roads that are indeed part of a statewide transportation system. And we have done hundreds of these. These go on a relatively regular basis. Immediate Opportunity Fund, Representative Smith asked about yesterday. That's the fund that allows road construction, road improvement, to benefit economic, take advantage of economic opportunities. And local street network is again required by statute. It improves local streets to relieve demand on state highways.
Can I stop you there?
Yes, you
given
can.
That I'm the only one here, I have feel a certain
sure
freedom to ask questions. Have you guys gotten the selection procedures for local street network straightened out? I don't know if you're aware of the fact that there was a pretty significant glitch in Region 1.
Chair Johnson, I think that that process, along with the access management money, the two sort of set-asides from the last legislature, I'm aware of the problems that went on. It seems like it shouldn't be that hard to have to give money, or shouldn't be that hard to give money away, but in developing the rules to make sure that there was equity, I'm aware that there were problems, and to my knowledge, that has been resolved.
I think the Representative Johnson, I think the projects have identified and the funds are starting to, the agreements are starting to come through.
I know that's happening, and I can see Mr. Garrett nodding his head. The issue that I had with it was that quite a large group was convened to do the selection process, including me. We spent a whole day selecting, prioritizing, and then suddenly internally bubbled up another set of criteria or another set of agency review, and it knocked some of the approved projects off the list. and we had to scramble to get them put back on. I'm pleased to say that they were put back on. But I think it was kind of discouraging to folks, there were probably 30 of us in the room, who went through this long process and then discovered that the agreements that we made when we walked out the door all got undone. The good news is it all got fixed, but I think what was instructive about this was that in the instances where you're convening the public to help with selection process, the rules ought to be pretty well known going in, because you leave with some real unhappy public going out if the deck gets reshuffled after everybody's pushed back from the table.
We agree.
Chair Johnson, absolutely agree with you. I think this was in a put us in a position we'd never been in before, and I think we underestimated homework that we needed to do before going out to the public instead of after going out to the public.
Well, the good news is it all got fixed, and it got fixed with a great deal of goodwill on everybody's part, and fixed quickly. But I think there might be some instruction available from how that process got sideways, and I see Matt nodding his head. Give me a good one.
I believe that we have learned.
Thank you.
Thanks for giving us the opportunity to learn. Civil rights program, also under special programs, that's the federally mandated internal and external affirmative action programs dealing with disadvantaged business enterprise and emerging small business. Land management, property sale, surplus property
Before
sale.
Before you move past civil rights, where in the org chart is civil rights located?
Reports directly to Tom.
Why is that? Why isn't it part of the human resources?
Representative Johnson, it has been in both places in the history of ODOT. It has a nexus to the construction program because of the DBE and equal opportunity. It also has a nexus to the human resources because of civil rights for the entire agency. And so currently it reports to me for that piece. I'd say it reports to me more as the deputy director than the head of the highway division.
And physically, where are they located?
Right next to me.
They're located in the materials lab out on Airport Road, I believe.
Was there some recent reconfiguration of the space that occurred?
Not recent. They put some partitions in there, year and a half ago or something.
And it was just partitions, that was it?
It's Chair Johnson. It's a there's a small office in that the space that they're located in is sort of one large room with one office that's got walls and a door on it where the manager is, and that's been an office for as long as I've been out in the lab. And the rest of the space is an open space with a partition.
Follow up.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was this not the area of ODOT that was using some commercial movies as part of the training program?
Chairman Patrick, Representative Johnson, yes. There was a one movie, and the staff went, because of its relationship to diversity, and did a debrief. They did a briefing before they went and a debriefing afterwards. And so it was a question of a relevant piece of material. The costs were paid for by the manager out of her pocket.
Yeah, but the salaries weren't. Well, I mean, that was the
training.
I want to come back when we get to the training piece of this. I still am very interested in a complete breakdown down financially of the training program. I understand that from Mr. Marsh, and he's been quite candid in sharing information with me, that the training is not nearly as extensive, that there are some shared training opportunities with DAS and some shared training opportunities with ODOT. And Chair Butler's not here, but I want it noted for the record, I just spent 50 cents. I'm trying to figure out, is there any opportunity for consolidating those training areas? If ostensibly the training is now limited to developing better management expertise in the manager cadre, and as long as the training is not specialized to ODOT, is there a way to find some efficiencies and combine those efforts?
Chair Patridge, Representative Johnson, I can tell you what I think maintenance is sort of leading that, and I think it rolls, is going to be able to roll into the rest of the organization. We believe maintenance is spread out all over the place, and now I'm going to be speaking to not the managerial type training, but the actual how to use equipment type training, safety
sure.
practices.
Sure.
We believe that we have an opportunity to deliver that through the community college structure, which will, by partnering, we're primarily working with Chemeketa because they're in town, but we believe by partnering with Chemeketa and working through the community college structure, what's going to happen is that we're going to avail not only a relatively broad geographic distribution of delivery points, but we'll also avail the local governments who have some interest in doing some of our technical kinds of training because they have some kinds of equipment.
Especially where you're sharing maintenance.
That's correct. And so they'll be able to come in and sign up for the classes through the community college program. I think that has opportunity in the other computer training classes or, you know, like Excel classes, pretty much an Excel class, and I think that there's some opportunities there.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
I want to go back to the Oregonian. I mean, to the Oregonian. I want to go back to the article that appeared in the Oregonian about the movie training. Who authorized that?
Chairman Patridge, Representative Johnson. That was the manager's choice, manager of our civil rights unit.
Who answers to you?
Yes.
Were you supportive of that that management choice?
Yes.
Okay.
If I might add. The department was in the process of adding a diversity council and a diversity program, which is the first for state government, trying to find relevant information on what valuing diversity means and how it could make was a decision that the manager made. And the debrief that was conducted afterwards of the staff was that they had a better understanding of diversity. They're the ones that were helping to take the program out. So I was supportive of it in that sense. I think it's a very valuable effort. The backward glance would say, and the issue was timing. The program was at its rollout stage. The video is available today, so it could be rented, but that was 4 months ago. So the decision was based on the timing of the program coming out and the staff that was supportive of it.
Respectfully, do you see how that could be misunderstood by the public?
Patrick, Representative Johnson, I'm acutely aware because of the perceptions that were damaging to the program. So, in hindsight, was a delay worthwhile? It would be a different choice today.
One more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
I'm delighted to hear about the partnerships with the community college. Has anyone done a cost pro forma to see what savings will be available as a result of, in effect, contracting those savings, those training classes through the community colleges?
Chair Patridge, Representative Johnson, we're in the process of evaluating that right now. Working with the community, we had to go to the community college and kind of describe what it was we needed them to do, and they're formulating the cost of what it would cost them to do that.
Are you asking them to write new curriculum?
No, not really. We're writing the curriculum and asking them to deliver it.
Respectfully, are there not packaged curricula in how to operate around a snowplow? I would assume someplace that curricula exists.
Chair Patridge, Representative Johnson, this is sort of a multi-layered deal. When we get new equipment, we get free training from the manufacturer of the equipment on the basics of the operation. As you move into whether it's snow plowing or grader operation, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, that was almost another quarter, has done some things to try and develop some standardized training classes, but mostly we don't find them to be as effective as having that one-on-one. We actually bring equipment together in about twice a year. We bring a bunch of equipment together and have people go out and actually use it, whereas sitting and watching a video hasn't been as effective.
Again, respectfully, what's the cost differential, and is there any demonstrable benefit in terms of man-hours saved from accident that says one form is better than another?
Chair Patridge, Representative Johnson, I don't know what the cost of the package training is. I know that
We spend about $250,000 a biennium putting on the maintenance type training that I was discussing. I don't think I can give you I don't know of any numbers that have been produced, both around the safety issue and around the better use of equipment without damaging it. I don't have a statistic for you. It seems to me, and seems to the people that go to the classes, that this is a that there's a benefit, that they're better able to use the equipment, but I can't give you any black and white number.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks.